content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be bringing you articles from Sports Illustrated for Kids Online, Scouts Life, and Time for Kids, and Sports Kids News. So stay tuned for all of that. We have that coming up now. We're beginning with kids news and sports, and this story happened a few weeks ago, but we thought that it would be kind of funny to talk to you a little bit about it. Prime Minister Scott Morrison crashes into young soccer player on election campaign trail. This happened last month, so we wanted to bring it to you now. A young soccer player has been praised for his determination and for being a good sport after he was crashed into the ground by Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Mr. Morrison joined under 8s training at the Devonport Strikes Club in Tasmania while on the election campaign trail last month in May, but taking his self-dubbed bulldozer title to a new level, he accidentally knocked over Luca Favit, sparking gaps and awkward laughter from the side of the pitch. Mr. Morrison appeared to trip and lose his footing, rapping Luca as he fell to the ground. This prompted jokes from the sidelines that Mr. Morrison, who likes to try his hand at every sport, might have forgotten what code he was playing. Mr. Morrison quickly patted Luca on the back and later gave him a high five to check he was okay. Luca, who's 8, said he wasn't hurt in the accident, but said he should have been awarded a free kick. I think someone tried to pass it, the ball, to me or Mr. Morrison, and he tripped and he was trying not to fall on top of me, so he tried to fall underneath me, Luca told the Today television show the following morning. He told me I was a good sport. Under 8 soccer coach Keegan Smith said Luca was as tough as and came out of the incident with a smile on his face. He probably falls over 3 times that much just training with the boys, Mr. Smith said. He had a massive smile on his face, and I think he ended up scoring a goal after that. Mr. Morrison made the late afternoon dash to the electorate of Braden to announce a $3.5 million upgrade to the pitches and facility at the Valley Road Soccer Grounds if elected. He also said that evening Mr. Morrison said he had spoken to Luca and his mother, Allie. A shout out to young Luca for being such a sport, Mr. Morrison wrote on his Facebook. You may have seen we had a bit of a collision at club training tonight at the Devonport Strikers Football Club in Tasmania. I spoke to Luca and his mom, Ollie, tonight to check in on him, and he was in good form. Great to be able to have a good chat to him about his love of football and to hear he's had 3 hat tricks in his budding career already. Luca's club also posted its support. It said, our club values are determination, effort, and respect, the club wrote. We think Luca showed plenty determination and effort to stop the PM scoring at all costs. The latest star of the election is okay and looking forward to being the star of the show at school tomorrow. Mr. Morrison, who that week last month, described himself as a bit of a bulldozer, was visiting Tasmania 3 days out of the federal election. Australians will cast their votes to elect the next governor. They did that last month with pre-election polls showing it would be a close contest. Mr. Morrison leads the Liberal Party, which they hope form government and coalitions with the National, while opposition leader Anthony Albanese. So they want to again say thank you, Luca, for being such a great sport. More in kids sports. Daring Dream sees our youngest ever climber crest Mount Everest. Teenager Gabby Kanizsa has become the youngest Australian to climb Mount Everest, and the 19-year-old is already dreaming about conquering the world's highest peak again. It took years of preparation and training before the teen from Melbourne was able to scale the 8,848-meter mountain, which straddles the border of China and Nepal. The best part of the trek, which took more than 6 weeks, was sharing it with her mother, Jane, 52, she said. "Standing on top of the summit together brought a tear to both of our eyes," Ms. Kanizsa said. "We definitely had our moments, but overall we made each other stronger and inspired each other to keep going. Now we will share the moment with each other for the rest of our lives." Ms. Kanizsa said she had wanted to climb the mountain and be the youngest Australian to do it since she was 14. "I've just always wanted to climb Everest. I have always really liked adventuring and exploring," she said from the mountain's base camp, a head spinning 4,500 meters above sea level. "When I was 14, I was talking with my dad about life goals, and Everest was one of them. Every step of the plan, I began to fall in love with the mountain. The preparation was tough, involving regular workouts at the gym and mountain hikes. Before she reached its summit, Gabby trekked to Mount Everest Base Camp in 2019 and also climbed Cho Oyu, the world's sixth highest mountain, 20 km to the west. But from the way the Brighton teenager recalls her most recent adventure, you would be forgiving for thinking Mount Everest was a walk in the park. Parts of it were harder than I thought it would be, but overall, I think the mountain surprised me a lot," she said. "Next time, I would like to do a more challenging route. I think I had youth on my side." The record-breaking mountaineer is now heading to Europe to spend the next year traveling and exploring its Alps. "I don't have anything specific in mind of what's next, but I will climb whatever mountains draw me," Gabby says. "I love the mountains and I just want to keep climbing." Good for you, Gabby. Now, because some of those articles may have been difficult, we want to find out this question. Would you like to climb Mount Everest or fulfill a different ambition by the time you're 19? Think about it. And maybe you can talk to your parents about what you want to achieve before you're 19. Now, some of those stories, some of those questions in that was some of the definitions for conquering means. In climbing, it refers to ascending, scaling, reaching the summit. Straddles means to be on both sides of something, like a border between countries. And summit means the top, the peak, the crest, the limit. And again, let's have a quick quiz. How high is Mount Everest? Who accompanied Gabby up the world's highest mountain? How far above sea level is the Mount Everest base camp? And what is the name of the world's sixth highest mountain, and how far is it from Mount Everest? How did Gabby prepare physically for the tough climb? Dun, dun, dun. Do we know the answer? Do we know one of the answers? Well, how high is Mount Everest? 8,848 meters. That's meters. 8,848 meters. Okay. Who accompanied Gabby up the world's highest mountain? Dun, 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 dun. Her mother, Jane. Yay. And how far above sea level is the Mount Everest base camp? Do we remember that? Dun, 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 dun. Do we know the base camp? The base camp. It was 4,500 meters above sea level. Then the next question, what is the name of the world's sixth highest mountain and how far is it from Mount Everest? Dun, 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 dun. It is Cho Oyu, the world's sixth highest mountain, and it is 20 km to the west of Mount Everest. And the final question, how did Gabby prepare physically for the tough climb? Dun, 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 dun. She trained. She did regular workouts at the gym and, you guessed it, mountain hikes. Another great story coming up with some definitions afterwards. Australian Olympian Becky Smith has traveled the world as a top race walker since she was a teenager. Now 35, the indigenous athlete has a new coach so she can learn sports she hasn't tried before. Her coach is Lennon, her 8-year-old son. The sports Lennon's teaching his mom are traditional indigenous games he learned at school. They're so good for your gross motor skills and coordination, Ms. Smith said. Gross motor skills are everyday activities such as running, walking, throwing, and kicking. They provide an opportunity to learn and appreciate aspects of indigenous culture, she said. Also, they're about moving your body, and there's a game for everyone, for every age and ability, and they're based off fun and playing and laughing, not based off competition. Miss Smith is a UN woman whose people are from New South Wales, South Coast. That is indigenous. That means people from different places. And again, she is a UN woman who her people are from New South Wales, South Coast. She grew up in Western Sydney, Durang country, rather than on Yuin country, and didn't have the opportunity as a child to learn the traditional sports her son is teaching her. She first tried athletes at the age of 7. She said, I loved it, the challenge of all the different events and different distances she could do, she said. Though she played basketball in every sport offered at school, she preferred athletics to team sport. It was right up my alley. The sole responsibility was mine. The attitude and effort I put in. People say that the start line is the loneliest place an athlete can be, but I was really drawn to that. Her first experience race walking was at 10 years old. I love the endurance factor and the technical aspect. It's very unusual. Sports helped her understand a lot about herself. I grew up disconnected from the country I am from, and sport was a tool for me to find that happy connection. Sport was a driving tool to identify who I am as a person. Inspired by fellow Indigenous athletes Kathy Freeman, Nova Parrish, and Patrick Johnson, she worked hard, and in 2003, at the age of 16, she competed in the 5,000-meter walk at the IAAF World Youth Championship. At the 2012 London Olympics, she beat her personal best time by 1 minute in the 20 km race walk, placing 27th. She competed in the 20 km race walk at the World Championship in Beijing, China in 2015 and London, UK 2017, and placed 6th in the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. Miss Smith is working with the Australian Institute of Sport on a program called Share a Yarn, which connects top athletes with Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander communities. The aims are to encourage sports participation and share knowledge about Indigenous culture, land, history, and people. Share a Yarn promotes reconciliation through sport to have more opportunities for our people, she said. Yulunga, that's Yulunga games, means playing in a Kamilaroi language of Northwest NSW. Other words in traditional languages that mean play or fun include Arkeen, Irim, that's Arkeen, Irime, from the Eastern Arentic language of Central Austria, and Gimbi, G-I-M-B, from the Waka Waka language of South Queensland. Many traditional Indigenous games are similar to those you may already play, such as Barba Gimme, BARAMBAHGIMBE, which is throwing a ball up high and trying to catch it. Some people believe the game of Marngrook, that's MARN-GROOK, from Victoria, could have influenced the development of Australian rules of football. A project for the Australian Sports Commission, Ken Edwards and Troy Meston, created a library of known traditional Indigenous games. There's a video of Olympian Becky Smith explains how to play Kai, that's K-A-I, a game named for the thick oval fruit. Kai, K-A-I, is quite light when dry, making it a perfect ball substitute. For more traditional indigenous games, you can visit sportaus.gov.aug. The Julunga games are available to download from the Kids News Story with the Kids Permission of Australian Sports Commission, and we acknowledge them with thanks and author Ken Edwards and Troy Meston for this information. Now, a question to ask you, would you like to try playing these traditional Indigenous games with your classmates? Think about it. It may be a lot of fun. And the glossary for those big words that we talked about, aspects, A-S-P-E-C-T-S, particular parts of features of something, right up my alley, suited to your interests or abilities, and soul, S-O-L-E, the only one of something. Drawn, D-R-A-W-N, attracted, fascinated. Endurance, E-N-D-U-R-A-N-C-E, ability to keep going for a long time. Factor, F-A-T-O-R, situation or fact that leads to a result. Aspect, A-S-P-E-C-T, particular part or feature of something. IAAF means International Amateur Athletic Federation, now called World Athletes, this organization that governs track and field sports. Australian Institute of Sport is AIS, which is a national organization to help train and support top athletes. And Reconciliation, R-E-C-O-N, C-I-L-I-A-T-I-O-N, strengthening relationships between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander or Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people. Great information, huh? Yeah. And we have some quiz questions about that article. Who is Mrs. Smith's coach and how old is he? What activities are examples of gross motor skills? What does Share Yarn program aim to do? What did Miss Smith achieve at the London Olympics? In what race and where did she place? And which Indigenous community is Miss Smith and where is that country? Dun, 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 dun. What is Mrs. Smith's coach and how old is he? Mrs. Smith's coach is her son, Lennon, who is 8 years old. And what activities are examples of gross motor skills? Gross motor skills, gross motor skills. Gross motor skills are activities that help you be more active. They are active skills intuitively for coordination, such as everyday activities, which are running, walking, throwing, and kicking. What does Share a Yarn program aim to do? Dum, 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 dum. Share a Yarn promotes reconciliation through sports to have opportunities for all people. It connects top athletes with other people and other communities of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. And this aims are to encourage sports participation and share knowledge about Indigenous culture, land, history, and people. That one's kind of long, right? And what did Miss Smith achieve at the London Olympics in what race and where did she place? Dum, 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 dum. In 2012, London Olympics, she beat her personal best time by 1 minute in the 20km race walk, placing 27th. She competed on the 20km race walk at the World Championship in Beijing, China, and London, UK, and placed 6th in the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. And last question, which indigenous community is Miss Smith from, and where is the country? Do you remember? Do you remember? Well, she is from the Yugalese. Yulinga is her language. She is a UN woman. And she's from a people of New South Wales, South Coast. So Yulinga is the language. They call her UN. And she is from the people of New South Wales, South Coast. That's a lot of information. I know you guys. But guess what? It's all about learning and learning more sports. Learning what is good, what you may be interested in, and what may be helpful to you as a new person on any kind of different language. Learning about other people is always a great thing. And of course, sports can be challenging, and with COVID, it can be even more challenging. That's how we have some information from healthchildren.org about youth sports, a COVID-19 safety checklist. Having COVID-19 vaccines available for ages 5 and up is a game changer for many families. Being fully vaccinated can keep kids healthy for fun activities like youth sports. Even with the Omicron variant spreading and a record number of COVID-19 cases in kids, we have proven tools and strategies to protect youth athletes starting or returning to sports and other activities. Fortunately, fully vaccinated children and teens mostly have not been severely ill from COVID or multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC. However, any child or teen who recently had COVID-19 should be screened before resuming physical activity, regardless of how any child or teen who or minor their symptoms were. This can be through a phone, telemedicine, or in-person visit with their pediatrician. During the assessment, your child can be evaluated for any possible effects of COVID-19 on the heart. Before the sports season starts, or in some cases, you need to understand the safety rules for participating during COVID-19. Talk about what they mean with your child. Make sure your child has their own face mask or face covering, hand sanitizer, towel, water bottle, and tissues labeled with their name. Call your pediatrician to make an appointment if your child needs a pre-participation physical evaluation. It's also a good time to catch up on your recommended vaccinations. If your child hasn't been active during the pandemic, start easing into exercise. For sports with a lot of running, for example, consider a beginner running program, such as the Couch to 5K or None to Run apps, a couple months before the season or beginning this summer. This can help prevent injuries that sudden, intense activity can cause in growing children. It can also reduce the risk of heat-related illness in kids affected by obesity. And prior to practice or games, keep your child home from practice or games. Kids should isolate and test if they come up with COVID, if they have any symptoms. Remind your child to wash their hands before arriving or use hand sanitizer if soap and water aren't available. Bring labels with their name, personal sports equipment, water bottle, towel, tissues, hand sanitizer, and face masks. They're all important to being great at sports and making sure each child stays safe. Regardless of vaccination status, kids should wear a mask indoors in areas with high transmission of COVID and shared transportation. Also, returning to physical activity after COVID-19 infections, if your child has a positive COVID-19 test, notify their pediatrician. The doctor can advise how long they need to wait before returning to exercise or sports. This will be based on how severe their COVID-19 symptoms are and whether they develop signs of multi-system inflammatory syndromes in children, or MISC. Children and teens with no symptoms or mild symptoms of COVID-19 and no symptoms of MIS need to have a phone, telemedicine, or in-person visit with their pediatrician. The doctor will tell you how long to isolate and advise your child not to exercise during that time. They will also ask about heart symptoms such as chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, irregular heartbeat. All these things, a child with a positive heart screening will need to have an in-person visit for a complete physical exam. The doctor will decide if a EKG is needed before clearing your child for physical activities. Those with moderate symptoms of COVID-19 and no signs of MISC should have an in-person visit with their doctor. They should not exercise until their symptoms are gone and they are seen by their doctor to be screened for possible effects of COVID on their heart and a complete exam and EKG. If your child's heart screening is normal, they can gradually go back to physical activity once 10 days have passed from a positive test. Their symptoms also have to be gone without using fever-reducing medicine for at least 10 days. Children and teens who were very sick from COVID-19 or diagnosed with MISC must be treated as though they have an inflamed heart muscle, and because they need to stay in an ICU and or were intubated, they may need other tests depending on signs and symptoms. Before your child leaves the hospital, have a plan to follow up with a cardiologist. After severe illness or MISC, exercise should be restricted for at least 3 to 6 months. A pediatric cardiologist should examine your child before they can return to exercise or competition. The doctor will recommend a schedule for gradual increasing physical activity based on your child's age and how severe the symptoms were. Keep in mind, even if your child is clear for activity, they will need to stop immediately if they experience any kind of symptoms. We want to always keep them safe and secure and knowing that they're okay. So no signs of shortness of breath, heart palpitations, feeling faint, any of those things, you definitely need to get your child checked out. Well, unfortunately, we ran out of time for this episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. I'm sorry about that. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. I am your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. This is the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 919-832-5138. This is, again, PsyKids for Kids. I can't get it right. Sports Illustrated for Kids, you guys. Have a good one, and we hope to see you soon.